Wednesday. Yeah. Happy Independence Day. Good to see you guys. All right. Go ahead and find your seat again. So guys, there have been widespread headlines recently regarding the departure from the faith from, you know, many significant Christian leaders. You like this guy? Yeah. You're interrupting my introduction. Difficult. I already know what kind of crowd this is going to be. All right. Unlike Adoniram Judson, there's been a significant number of notable Christian leaders who have departed from the faith this past year or so. First, there was the best-selling author Joshua Harris, who wrote several books on purity, including I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Then there was the Hillsong songwriter, okay, so Hillsong is the organization, songwriter and singer Marty Sampson. And then also there was the son of a popular pastor, John Piper, and his son Abraham Piper, who's become quite popular himself, criticizing Christianity on TikTok. And then recently there was the evangelical prophet Jeff Janssen, who left his wife, family, and faith after his prediction that Trump would win the re-election didn't come true. And I'm sure there's others. But seriously, what the heck is going on here? Why is this happening? Why has the COVID pandemic seemed to have triggered an apostasy pandemic? And more importantly, will you be able to withstand the testing of your faith, such that you will not follow the footsteps of these other Christian leaders? I mean, they were leaders. They weren't just recent converts. Now, I'd like to share with you guys that Bob and I, as your shepherds, want to do everything we can to equip you to win the testing of your faith, whether it come by the world, by your flesh, or by the devil. And one way we want to do this is by inspiring you through the testimonies of Christian heroes who have stayed true to the Christian faith to the bitter end. And believe me, for some of these guys and gals, the end was bitter. But they never denied God. So, if you came here this morning expecting a three-point sermon, you're not going to get it. And maybe you're happy about that. It's like, thank God, finally. Change of pace. No, what you're going to get is the story of Adoniram Judson's life. And if you have ears to hear, an open heart and an open mind, believe me, you're going to want to pull out a piece of paper and write down some notes, because God's going to speak to you. But it's not going to be in the typical three-point sermon style. You've got to be open, because there's going to be things that have happened to this man's life and to his wife and family that you will want to take note of for the rest of your life. So pray with me as we take a look at the life of America's first foreign missionary, Adoniram Judson. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this man's life and for his wife Anne and others in his life. God, it is an inspiration. I didn't even know the man's name a month or so ago. Sounded familiar was the best I could come up with. But now I have been schooled and I am in awe of his faith. May I be like him and not like these others. So I ask God to teach us. You've got lessons for us to learn through his faith, through the word. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want anyone here to miss it. So speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Adoniram Judson was only 22 years old as he embarked on a sea voyage to England to request funding from the London Missionary Board. It was a bold and potentially foolish move since the effects of the Revolutionary War was still fresh in the minds of Americans and British alike. Nevertheless, it was the only option that he could think of to make his dream of becoming a missionary to Burma come true. But not only was this mission risky, so was the trip itself, because there was a war going on between England and France, and privateers attacked any British ship they could find. They would ransack it and then kill all the occupants on board. Sure enough, on the horizon, a ship was spotted. There it was, a privateer vessel. They tried to escape, but the faster, nimbler privateer ship overtook them in a matter of minutes, and they attacked the ship. Adoniram Judson, he was born on August 9th, 1788. He was a particularly intelligent man all his life. At 9 years of age, his father, who was a congregational pastor himself, took him aside and said to him, "Son, train your mind and you'll become a great man someday." Well, Adoniram didn't know what a great man was or would look like. But even at this age, he already knew that he had nagging questions about his father's faith. His baby sister died at 6 months of age, and his dad believed that babies would burn in hell because of their sinful nature. And secretly, Adoniram despised a God like that. When he grew up, he went to Rhode Island College, and that later became Brown University. And his apostasy there became complete when he became a deist through the influence of a college friend, Jacob Innes. So upon graduation, instead of going into the ministry, he started a private school and he wrote a couple of textbooks. But due to his restless nature, he quit this pursuit and in search of a greater challenge. He would even take on his dad in spiritual matters, and by all appearances, he would win their argument. So Adoniram was very confident and self-assured, but the real world had some lessons for him. He failed in his pursuit to become a playwright, so he traveled west, but all he could get was odd jobs from the local farmers. And so he ended up hooking up with a bunch of hooligans who would rob, cheat, and steal people just to get by. Not the signs of a noble life. Thoughts of his old college friend, Jacob, was that he was out there conquering new territory and living the dreams, swirled in his head while he was lying in this cot in this flea-infested lodging, and next to him was this man who was groaning in severe pain. A sheet had separated him from this gentleman, so he did not know who he was, but in the course of the night, he died. The next morning, the innkeeper told him that the man that died had actually gone to Brown University, which was surprising and shocking to Adoniram. And he asked, well, really, who was he? He says, oh, his name was Jacob Innes, his college friend that influenced him to embrace deism. Jacob's death plagued Adoniram. He felt pulled towards Christianity, but his mind just wouldn't let him go there. Nevertheless, he just couldn't keep living the way he was. He had to find answers. So he enrolled in the only place he could think of where answers could be found, and that was a new seminary in Andover. There was a professor there who had quit his position at Harvard in order to teach at this new seminary. And they became friends. And they had countless conversations. Adoniram's pride began to crack under the weight of his friend's death and the professor's incredible peace as he provided reasonable answers to his question. Then, on December 2nd, 1808, while standing under an apple tree, Adoniram privately gave his life to Christ through a simple prayer. He made Christianity his own faith, not just his parents. And for the first time in his life, he felt free. Adoniram was passionate for Christ right from the start. He read everything in the seminary library and was down to reading pamphlets and tracts when he read one entitled The Star of the East. As he read it, his heart raced. He read about a country called Burma, now called Myanmar. And it was an exotic and distant land filled with strange customs and beliefs rooted in Buddhism and reincarnation. He knew right then and there that his destiny was to become a missionary to Burma. Now, missionary work was considered something that the British did in the minds of Americans at this time in the newly formed nation. And so Adoniram actually had to start a secret society of missionary hopefuls called the Brethren. Well, he ended up writing a booklet called Concern for the Salvation of the Heathen, and its influence prompted the Congregational Church to relent and formed America's first missionary board, simply called the American Board. Well, to promote missionary work, he would visit people and do some fundraising, and he went to a lunch of a wealthy church deacon's home, and sure enough, there he met his future wife, Nancy, whom they called Anne. She was a spirited woman and was actually the first person in her family to get saved. That word saved, it's a biblical term that means when you transfer your faith from yourself to being, from being a good person, from being a religious person, to Christ. You're no longer trusting in yourself to get to heaven, you're trusting in Jesus to get you to heaven. The Bible calls that getting saved. And she was the first in her family, and they all followed suit. Well, he proposed to her in a letter, and her parents consented. Before they got married, though, Adoniram needed to go to England to get financial support for this missionary board. And that's where the privateers showed up. They attacked the ship, and Adoniram, he comforted himself with the thought that if I die, I will die trying to become a missionary. That was his comforting thought. Well, the conditions of the hold in the privateer ship were rancid. I mean, it was vomit and there was urine everywhere, and it was dark and it was cramped, and he would cry out as any person would, "Why, God? I'm here to do your will. Why, God?" Until he came to the conclusion that his suffering must be God's seminary to prepare him for missionary life. He was more right than he could have possibly imagined. Through the miraculous intervention of an American military officer, Adoniram escaped the gallows, and he reached England, and he secured funding for the London Missionary Board. Funding that they would never use. Because by the time he got back, the Americans were getting pumped about missionary work, and a generous donor gave the American board $30,000, which was more than enough to cover the needs of the four missionaries who wanted to go to India and Burma. So, Adoniram got married to Anne on February 5th, 1812, and boarded a ship to India just before England set up its blockade at the outset of the War of 1812. Yeah, Britain was fighting everybody back then. They were just something else. Okay, so while en route, Adoniram busied himself in translating the Greek New Testament into English. While doing this, a second life-transforming event occurred. And it was all over the simple word, baptism. His congregational church taught the traditional view that baptism was done on infants by sprinkling them with water. And yet his studies of the original Greek language revealed that baptism never meant to be sprinkled, but by immersion. And not after birth, but after conversion. Well, this presented a great moral dilemma for Adoniram, because he's being sent as a missionary by the congregational church. And before he even reached his missionary target, he's questioning the teachings of his church. Not only that, but his wife was a strict congregationalist and she was having none of it. She was not going to abandon her family's faith. Well, such matters would have to wait, for they arrived at Calcutta. Okay, so we should have a map, Calcutta. But their arrival was not welcomed by the East India Trading Company, who were quite hostile towards missionaries because they ruled the area with an iron fist. Yeah, I just thought it was portrayal of them on Pirates of the Caribbean, but no, they were nasty. They were nasty. And so they had to hide and play cat and mouse and try to dodge these guys for 6 months. They would have been deported if it wasn't for the help of veteran missionary William Carey, who was the first Baptist missionary to India. William Carey also gave them the hard-to-hear news that Burma was a hostile place for foreigners. The government used terror to control people by burying them alive or pouring boiling lead down their throats for even just the most minor offense. There are 15 million people in that country at that time. Not a single Bible, and one totalitarian king. Well, despite the urgings of other missionaries to not waste his life, throwing it away, going to Burma to be surely killed in that hostile place, Adoniram and Anne boarded a vessel for Rangoon, Burma. Before they boarded ship, though, they got baptized as believers in Jesus Christ. Anne as well, who later herself became convinced that it's better to follow the scriptures than the traditions of men. So, en route, Anne gave birth to her firstborn, who died shortly thereafter in the horrid conditions of the ship. Brokenhearted, they arrived at their mission field on July 1813. The city was impoverished, squalid, and bleak. They were discouraged, grieving, and homesick, and Anne was too sick to even walk. The only person they knew in all of Rangoon was William Carey's son, Felix. They managed to find his place, and Anne was able to recover there. But the incredible hardship of missionary work in Burma was just getting started. Felix and his wife and three children sailed off a week after Adoniram and his wife arrived, and their ship was hit by a storm and capsized. Felix lost his wife, his three kids, and in such shock and depression, he just wandered off into the jungle, and he was never heard from again. This left Adoniram and Anne Judson as the only missionaries in all of Burma. Roger, their second child, was born. He died 6 months later. The death of this second child really hit him hard, sent him into some deep depression. They asked themselves, would all of our children die in the mission field? Well, two new missionaries showed up, the Wheelocks and the Colemans. And both of them got sick with tuberculosis. Both of them got sick. They started coughing up blood. Edward Wheelock was dying from it, and his wife, over her distress of the situation, lost her mind and believed that the missionaries were trying to kill them. So she dragged her husband on board a ship to escape, but he got caught in a violent storm, and Edward Wheelock threw himself overboard. They never heard what happened to his wife. Adoniram and his wife, they got sick frequently. Dysentery, cholera, tuberculosis, and a host of other illnesses. And on top of that, no converts to show for it. They were told, all of Burma is Buddhist. We would rather burn in hell alone than live alone in Burma by becoming a Christian. And yet the hand of God was not absent in this living nightmare. In fact, neither Adoniram or Anne wavered in unbelief through all of this. They found a sympathetic Hindu man who taught them how to speak the Burmese language. Anne became like a sister to the viceroy's wife, the viceroy, the leader of the village of Rangoon. More new missionaries arrived, including the Huffs, who brought a printing press with them. And soon they printed 1,000 tracts that Adoniram wrote. And it was entitled, The Way to Heaven. Much interest was created by it that would later, years later, result in some significant salvation. Their first successful outreach, though, was through this little building called a zayat. This little building that they had built alongside the Burma Trail, where hundreds of people would travel every day, and it would offer shelter and some drink and some good conversation. And so they built one of these. And a man began to come regularly. And he ended up being their first convert. And that happened in November of 1918. They then, with one Burmese convert under their wing, they began to see others come to Christ very slowly. Two more came to Christ and brought it to a total of seven Christians. And then persecution increased. The new local believers, though, in response to the persecution, their zeal increased. Other American missionaries found it to be too risky and they left. But the Burmese Christians, they just seemed to not fear death. And they shared their faith all the more. And so they would stand outside of their zayat and cry out, "Anyone who is thirsty, come in and drink the waters of eternal life." And people would do it. More salvations resulted, including a Buddhist scholar and the first Burmese woman. But so did more hardships. Incredibly painful ones. Anne's health deteriorated to the point where she had to go to Boston for medical attention, and that without her husband. She had liver disease. A war broke out, of course, Britain and Burma, resulting in all foreigners being arrested as spies, and they were thrown, Adoniram included, into the worst god-awful prison you could possibly imagine. It. In fact, you can't imagine how bad this prison was. If you really want to have your mind opened, this is the book, Adoniram Judson, Bound for Burma. And they describe what they went through. I am surprised anyone lived to tell the tale. You think you've had it hard? You kind of given yourself the pity party? My life sucks. Why has God done this to me? Give yourself a reality check. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable what he went through. And yet never wavered in unbelief. It is mind-boggling what one human being can do to another. Absolutely unbelievable. They had to sleep with their legs raised up in the air with irons. They became a feast for the mosquitoes, for the rats. Adoniram almost died in the year that he experienced this torture. In fact, he should have. But the hardest news for Adoniram, who the British won the war, by the way, and they got out. And life got back to normal-ish, but he got the news in a letter that said, "Mrs. Judson is no more." His wife of 11 years had died from a weakened immune system due to the stresses of missionary life. Adoniram poured himself into the work of reaching Burma for Christ. It was an attempt to fulfill his dream, but it was also an attempt to get Anne off of his mind. He translated the entire New Testament into Burmese, and he welcomed and trained new missionaries. He preached multiple times a week, and he shared the gospel constantly. Burma was changing right before his eyes. After printing another 10,000 tracts, up to 6,000 Burmese responded by coming to Adoniram, and they were asked these questions. They'd say, "Well, how can I escape the eternal hell that I read about. Or I want to know the truth before I die. And Adoniram's favorite, are you Jesus Christ? By 1831, Adoniram and his fellow missionaries had performed 217 baptisms with 240 Burmese and 113 foreigners now following Christ as believing Christians. Adoniram loved to hand out tracts and tell the Burmese people about Jesus, but his greatest passion was translating the Greek and Hebrew Bible into Burmese. And by 1834, he had done it. Another thing he did was get married to Sarah Borden, whose husband had died in the mission field. Together, from the years of 1834 to 1844, they bore 6 living children. One was stillborn, and another died 2 years later of dysentery. But the toll of having kids in Burma had its impact on Sarah, and she was vulnerable to every kind of disease. Adoniram himself coughed constantly and could only talk in a rough whisper. So he left his 3 youngest in the care of other missionaries and took his family to America for medical treatment. En route, Sarah died in the harbor of St. James. Adoniram wrote this stirring entry in his journal. It said, "For a few days, in the solitude of my cabin, with my poor children crying around me, I could not help abandoning myself to heartbreaking sorrow. But the promise of the gospel came to my aid, and faith stretched her view to the bright world of eternal life." I know of people who have abandoned Christ for far lesser things. Thirty-three years after Adoniram first left America, he returned, and to a hero's welcome. The papers called him the Saint of Burma. He had many meetings and countless speaking engagements. One of them resulted in meeting an author who went by the name of Fanny Forrester, whose real name was Emily. He arranged to have her write a biography of Sarah's life. And in so doing, they fell in love and he married her. Together, they sailed back to Burma, leaving their kids in the care of relatives. He continued to work on printing his Bible and completing a Burmese English dictionary. Yet sickness plagued him. After fathering one more child, Adoniram fell desperately ill and was on the brink of death once again. His wife asked him if he was prepared for death. He said, "I'm not tired of my work, neither am I tired of the world. Yet when Christ calls me home, I shall go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from his school." On April 3rd, 1850, Adoniram died while out at sea seeking medical attention. No hymns were sung, no prayers offered, no homily spoken. In fact, he died at almost the same spot that his firstborn child did. And to this day, Adoniram's translation of the Bible is the only one translated into Burmese. And there are now 4 million Christians in Burma who credit Adoniram for their faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. We have examples like this of common, ordinary men. This is Bob said, there's nothing supernatural about this guy other than the fact that he had the Holy Spirit and stopped to think of it. So do I. So do so many of us here. We're no different than him. He endured a suffering that I could only begin to imagine. And it's hard to imagine it because it is so difficult to think about how would I have responded if I was in the face of such hardship, such pain. Sometimes, God, I feel like I'm such a wuss, such a weakling. When I let a bad day throw me off course, you know, incite me to forget my religion for a moment. And yet, here, Adoniram and Anne and Sarah and Emily, what they went through challenges me to the core of my being. May we be like him and his wives. May we follow their example, which is simply following the example of Paul, who is simply following the example of Christ. It is nothing new. It is nothing that unique. This is what C.S. Lewis would call the normal Christian life. To lay down our lives so that others might find life. Boy, did a lot of people find life because of Adoniram's suffering and sacrifice. The Lord, it's now our turn. America is becoming far more hostile to the Christian faith than ever before. Our chance for suffering, if we're looking for it, is coming. May we not shrink back. May we not be ashamed. And oh God, may we not abandon our Jesus, who went to the cross and suffered the weight of our sin on the cross, that we might be born again. My prayer in Jesus' name.